Welcome to the City on a Hill podcast. City on a Hill is a Catholic young adult community located in the greater Kansas City area with a mission to inspire and form the young adult generation in their pursuit of sainthood. In each episode, we feature a young adult who will share their story of encountering Christ, some specific ways they are personally pursuing sainthood, and how they live on mission here in Kansas City. We are grateful you've decided to tap into our community and hope that you feel inspired on your personal pursuit of sainthood. Thanks for listening in, and here are your hosts.
Welcome back to another episode of the City on a Hill podcast, where we interview Catholic young adults and get their stories of faith. And today I am happy to welcome on the show Mr. Michael Collins. Michael, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Father.
Great to have you, man. And we're just going to launch right in. So, Michael, share with us what the Lord has done for you in your life.
Yeah. Well, I grew up in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. I am 29 years old. I work at a local insurance company as an accountant.
Sweet.
For sure. And I have two sisters, so family of five. I'm the baby. Grew up in a Cuban household. My mom is 100% Cuban, so it's definitely more of a matriarchal household where the mom's kind of in control of the household. Great food, you know.
Yeah, I bet. Does that mean you started smoking cigars at age five?
Not quite. My grandfather passed away from lung cancer, so that kind of like steered me away from that. But I feel like, you know, there's something about cigars and cigarettes. You know, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so cool. But
from your grandfather, that was off limits in your
sure. It was a little bit more off limits.
Yeah.
So, my story's been a little bit of a roller coaster in terms of my faith. I had kind of a very retreat-based faith. So it would be a lot of, like, it would be where I would, you know, get on this amazing high from going on a retreat or having this amazing spiritual experience. That lasting for about a month, 2 months, and then kind of crashing back down and kind of going back in the same sin patterns. I'd grown up kind of really loving the faith. I really loved going to Mass, really was drawn to music, especially. I have a natural talent for singing, so I really loved to sing. And you know, sometimes you would get the old people like sitting next to you and saying, "You have such a lovely voice.
Oh yeah.
You should join the choir." So that was always the Mass for me was a place of security for my faith. It's where, you know, I felt secure and really at home. So kind of with my story, it really doesn't make sense for me to tell it in a chronological basis. I kind of want to speak into like some lies, some mistakes I've made in my spiritual journey, and then through those mistakes, through those lies, kind of tell you how God redeemed me, and it redeemed my story.
Yeah,
and kind of like wrote straight with crooked lines. Just one of the first lie I want to mention is the lie that God does not provide for me. I grew up with a great family, a great house, like was very stress free. And my dad was working at paper sales at the time. And he had the same, he was kind of like a Michael Scott character, with the same dumb jokes, you know?
Yeah.
My dad lost his job when I was about in fourth grade, and that put a decent amount of stress on my family. Hmm. And kind of, instead of kind of going to like my parental figures, I kind of isolated myself and, really took it upon myself to grow up, to work hard, rely on my own strength to make it. Hmm. I still had good friends, but I think more and more I was putting more reliance on my own self. Hmm. But the thing is, like, I was putting reliance on myself, but I was performing well. Like, I was getting good grades. I was a decent athlete. Kind of externally, I was fine.
Yeah.
But internally, you know, I was getting more and more in my head. Hmm. And kind of this led to some battles with, like, depression and anxiety. Hmm. Those things hadn't really gone away.
Yeah.
I was working hard. You know, I thought if I worked hard, stuck it out, you know, got my CPA, kind of landed a good job out of college. I would figure out kind of, you know, being happy.
Yeah.
And that anxiety followed me. Hmm. And the bad habits followed me, and you know, even though I worked hard, it was still not working for me. I lost my job, you know, I lost my confidence, and I really felt like really isolated, alone, in the world. So kind of in those hours of darkness, is where God came to me. I was desperate at that time, and those pleas for prayer were like my starting place for my relationship, and reclaiming my relationship with the Lord.
And this is just a couple years out of college, kind of?
Yeah, around yeah, just then? Like two yeah. years out of college.
Yeah.
And so, like, I think this neediness on the Lord really, really kind of helped me grow, and I've learned to kind of make that request known if I need something, to really kind of allow God to provide whatever I need.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing, second mistake I made was I did not really trust God with, you know, all of my heart.
Yeah.
And one of the big things was I didn't trust him. I didn't trust God, especially through the church.
Hmm.
In college, like, I would constantly change my mind about issues, depending on the last person I talked to. So it was like, oh, you have some good points. You have some good points.
Hmm.
So I was flip-flopping around my faith. I was not really stable enough to, on an intellectual basis, become rooted in the faith.
Hmm.
This became problematic in Lawrence, where outside of the St. Lawrence Center, I was having to defend my faith to the people of my fraternity and workplace. You know, I became exhausted in my faith without a relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
I was not really defending my faith out of love for Christ, but what I thought was right according to my own understanding. So this manifested in a unhealthy relationship, an intellectual crisis.
Hmm.
And I briefly took a 1-year break from the Catholic Church.
Hmm. I was in the middle of college.
This was at the very end of college. So okay. I was kind of gearing up. I was in my master's year.
Hmm.
Studying for my CPA as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
Certainly had a lot going on, but still, like, it was a pretty difficult time.
Yep.
And I didn't know how to deal with it at that time. I didn't have like the specific tools.
Yeah.
To know, like, oh, I need help.
Yeah.
In that place, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think one of the things that helped me I came back to the faith, because it wasn't work. Like what I was doing wasn't working. Mm-hmm. What I was, I thought, you know, based on my own, I'm like, oh, I'll take the reins from here, God. That didn't work. So I kind of gradually came back, and things got better. But then they plateaued and I kind of fell into the same sin patterns. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest things that helped me was actually something you said on a silent retreat, is I was not receiving the Eucharist probably as much as I needed to in a state of grace. Mm. And instead of going to confession, like, you know, 2 to 3 times a year, I'd be going. Now that you spoke that truth, I'd be going, you know, 15, 20 times a year. Mm-hmm. So that really opened me up to, you know, that healing, that grace that God kind of poured out on me. Mm. The third mistake I had was living for the approval of others. Mm. So I was blessed to attend St. James Academy, right up the road. One of the best Catholic schools. So I had a pretty good understanding of the faith. You know, they have like the Benedictine methodology in terms of their curriculum. But when I went to KU, it was a culture shock, completely kind of different, environments. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, it's being Catholic is not the center point of the experience. And so I kind of fell into the wrong crowd in college and was quickly living kind of that duplicitous life where I was going to mass, and then also partying and kind of falling into that crowd. But I was kind of looking at, you know, the people around me, and I was saying like, well, I'm not doing so bad comparatively to these people that I'm living with. I'm still, I'm still like getting good grades. I'm still, you know, on the surface level, I'm still doing fine. Mm-hmm. So in that aspect, like the biggest, reason for my reconversion to Christ, and my confidence, like having an increase in my confidence, has been sitting on a hill. Mm. So like genuine friendship and brotherhood saved me. Mm. One of those prayers I mentioned to God, kind of in that state after college, was for better friends. Kind of God told me to separate from those friends, even if for a little while I might be lonely and it might be scary. He invited me to trust. So I ended up joining Catholic Challenge Sports and having more kind of authentic Christ-centered friendships that supported me through that time. So through their help, I was able to take better responsibility for my faith and little by little make strides to lead me even closer to Christ.
Dude, that's awesome. Yeah, thanks for sharing those three things. Clearly, you've given some good thought and reflection to those. I guess just kind of moving backwards, a couple questions came to mind. One, with that friendship piece, you know, you mentioned like good friendship like saved you. I think that's how you put it. And man, like I've come to a greater and greater awareness of like the critical need for deep friendships. And I think that's going to become more and more necessary as society becomes more and more kind of like opposite from everything that we believe in, you know? Mm-hmm. And as it becomes more like the way we're meant to live as Catholics, more polar opposite from the way that society is, then friendship and in its wider form, you know, community becomes more and more necessary. And so anyhow, I guess with your experience of friendship kind of saving you, so to speak, has that made you, I guess, a little bit more sort of aware of other people around you who maybe are isolated, lonely, and without friends? Like, do you feel like you have more of an eye for that now?
Yeah. Just kind of speaking into that a little bit. One of my best friends, I've been best friends with him for like 20 years, is a guy named Doug Likem. Mm. He's a youth minister now at Holy Spirit. Mm. And, you know, growing up, I was kind of on the small end of the spectrum. I had these big, you know, wide glasses. And I just remember, like, at recess, kind of, he was like the captain. He was athletic. And, you know, he would always pick me first for some reason, even though I didn't deserve it. But he would always pick me first because I was his best friend.
Yeah.
And so kind of that experience of friendship and this like loyalty kind of helped me see other people a little bit that were on the fringes. And then, yeah, I think, so kind of with that experience, I've connected with certain people like Jared, Condre, and some of the other people on City on the Hill to kind of look at them, bring them in, and really connect them with this community.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. I think, it's usually the case when we go through something ourselves, even if it's like something like physical illness, for example, we become more kind of sensitive, if you will, when we see it in other people. And so, I was just curious about that. The thing I was going to ask you with the first lie you mentioned about like sort of not really believing that God would provide for you and that you have to kind of provide for yourself, you know, this kind of like self-reliance, forcing yourself to grow up too quickly, so to speak, perhaps. And that kind of got me thinking too about like so many things in the spiritual life, you know, the virtue and the right thing is in the middle, right? And so some people run across have this sort of extreme disposition in the opposite of what you were describing, which is like I'm going to expect God to be almost like a magician and just like give me what I want or what I need without any sort of cooperation on my part, like any exercise of my free will. Like I just expect him to sort of poof, like make everything right and make everything good. And then of course on the opposite end of the spectrum, what you were describing, which is like purely relying on my own strength and almost turning myself into a god of sorts, as opposed to recognizing that like any strength I do have comes from God and I need to like ask him for help continually and cooperate with his grace and so on. So I guess as you've noticed that lie about the sort of the self-reliance, I guess how has that translated maybe on a practical level, like on a daily basis? How have you tried to really live more of a life kind of reliant on him, so to speak, while also, you know, not straying too far in that direction of like, you know, asking him to be like sort of a magician kind of thing.
Right.
Right. So how have you, I guess, straddled that middle path?
Yeah. I mean, I think with a lot of the spiritual life and more specifically me in general, it's good if I initiate some, you know, level of effort for me to, if I don't want it, like I need to purify my desires first and know like what am I actually wanting and what am I striving for? Like, is this so really purifying those desires, I would say is probably like the first step I would take.
Yeah.
And then kind of making a request known that is holy. So, and you know, I'm in the beginning part of my spiritual journey, but at least knowing that, you know, if trusting that, hey, if this is a good avenue, a good question for me to ponder, then can you kind of hear my prayer and help me to hopefully answer it in a certain way. And I think with that, you get more clarity because you have something to look for, a concrete way for God to actually, you can actually look to see where God has like changed your life.
Yeah, for sure. Getting in a little bit then to just kind of like sort of current ways or a current way that you're really trying to grow in your spiritual life or faith life. What one or two things would you want to kind of draw out?
Yeah, the one of the things is definitely is the scriptures and going over the daily readings and some of my friends and I did the Bible in a year.
Oh yeah.
Actually, it wasn't the Father Mike Schmidt's one. That was like a Protestant one with my friends. And so we did it before it was cool.
Got it.
And that really helped me. I think a lot of us really focus on like there's this like self-improvement and knowing yourself and this. And I found it really comforting to know like who God is. And I think the best way to do that is to read the scriptures. So I try to immerse myself in scriptures on a daily basis.
Nice. Once you finished the Bible in a year, on a daily basis, does that look like just opening it at random, or kind of what's your method there?
Yeah, right now I get like the UCCB, like that you can sign up for their email notifications.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And get your get the readings emailed
just
to you.
Just the daily readings.
So nice. I kind of just I'm not a morning person, so I kind of just wake up and usually check my phone, open up my email and just read those first thing in the morning.
Nice. Do a little, like, you're saying you do like a little Lexio with them? Or
Yeah.
Okay. That's awesome. Yeah, well, tell us maybe a little bit too about something you're trying to do currently to spread the gospel, to live on mission, to live an apostolate of some kind.
Yeah. So I think the thing I'm most famous for probably in City on a Hill is Frozen Fellowship.
Oh, yeah.
You know, everybody loves ice cream.
Amen.
And I think it probably has a 100% approval rating, or at least a 95%. Maybe some lactose intolerant people don't like it, but that was kind of I was leading a band of brothers group at the time, and I kind of felt the calling to hand it over to somebody else that was already kind of co-leading with me. And I felt that there was another way I could better serve City on a Hill. So my buddy Andrew kind of needed some more ideas, and you know, it kind of just was a natural thing where it's just like, why not ice cream? And then, and then coming up with names, I think, I think Loris Waters ended up coming with the name of Frozen Fellowship.
That's not surprising.
So,
yeah.
So my brother-in-law always wants to call like two scoops for Christ or something like that. He's like,
oh, that's decent. Yeah.
So I think with Frozen Fellowship, I was able to really welcome people from city, new people, especially from city to City on a Hill.
Yeah.
In a more relaxed environment.
Mm-hmm.
Not as overwhelming as like a Tuesdays at the Boulevard.
Yep.
And kind of get to know them on a personal level, know their story.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And especially connect them with other parts of the community.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be like with Band of Brothers or Sisterhood or any of the other kind of wonderful apostles that we have.
Yeah. And you did one of those sort of like, touring local ice cream shops. Were you doing that every other week in the summer?
Yeah, every other week in the summer.
Nice.
I kind of got it like, I made it where it was kind of like a rock concert. You know, I always really liked looking at like those rock posters.
Oh, yeah.
And then knowing like the tour dates and here we're going here, we're going there, you know. Kind of being a little road junkie.
Yep.
I would say my personal favorite probably is the Betty Ray's.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Probably my personal favorite.
I keep hearing all about Betty Ray's. I still have never been there.
You haven't been?
No, I have not.
My gosh.
I have not. One of these days.
Maybe this summer.
Maybe this summer. Yeah. Well, so what do you... I guess how are you trying to live apostolate in the wintertime when there's no more Frozen Fellowship is on hold, I guess.
Yeah. For during the wintertime, I try to live a life more of like radical hospitality.
Mm.
That's taking the form of like, you know, inviting people over for dinner. I plan Mark Sappington's birthday party, that man knows like 2,000 people. So that was a fun thing to do.
Yep.
And then just kind of use this time also to work on myself and work on, you know, other things I'm interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went through Living Waters.
Oh yeah.
And that kind of was that fall winter period.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to kind of get some healing from my past.
Yeah,
so.
It's awesome. Yeah, for our listeners, Living Waters is kind of I think it would be described as sort of the bread and butter program or initiative of Desert Streams Ministries, which a lot of people, when they hear those words, I did for like 2 years, I kept getting them mixed up. It was like Desert Waters, Living Streams, but Desert Streams, the organization, Living Waters is there. It's about 20 weeks, right? Roughly a 20-week.
Yeah, 20-week program. Yeah, if you're interested, just reach out to Marco Casanova.
Yeah, we'll put something in the show notes about it, but, I know that's provided just a huge, it's filled a huge unmet need, I think, in our young adult community at large, although it's open to people of all ages, but Living Waters, good stuff.
Yeah.
Cause we've all got brokenness of some kind.
For sure. And I think that's really spoken into like that first lie that I believed, you know, kind of putting my reliance on the Lord.
Yeah.
Especially in a group setting like that and being known. I think that's the biggest thing that I got out of it.
Yep. Dude, that's huge. That's another reason why like real friendship, I think, is a saving grace. Because in real friendship, you know, we're like known
right
completely by the other person, and the kind of security that brings to just live life with confidence is like you can't get that anywhere else. And so cool. Well, thanks for coming on the podcast, Michael.
Thank you, Father.
It's great to have you, and thank you all for tuning in to this episode of the City on a Hill podcast. And we hope you tune in next time. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the City on a Hill podcast. Consider subscribing so you don't miss another exciting episode, or leaving a review, which may help others find the podcast and be inspired on their pursuit of sainthood. Check out our website at kansascityonahill.org and consider joining us at one of our upcoming events. Be assured of our prayers for you and for all young adults in the Kansas City area. God bless.